Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Yep, he's done it again, folks.
Oh, no, not again. Oh, my. Oh, my. Oh, my goodness gracious.
Named to Talkers Magazine's Heavy 100 for the third year in a row.
It's not the first time. It won't be the last.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for staying with us today. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. We're glad you're here. We don't care where you are. We don't care how you're listening. We don't care when you're listening. As you know, you can listen to this show lots of different ways and lots of different times. We're just glad you're here because what we have to talk about, especially right now, is very important. Peter Ferrara is our guest, and he's somebody that I've met recently. I've been telling you about him. We've been mentioning his name for many, many years as we've talked about the books, A New Deal for Social Security and Common Sense, Common Dreams, as I've talked for now over 7 years about Social Security reform and what are we going to do about it. Peter's one of the experts in that area. He's senior research fellow at the Institute for Policy Innovation. He's a former associate deputy attorney general under Bush 41. He also has spent some time in the Reagan White House, and he's here with us right now. Peter Ferrara, welcome to the show.
Glad to be here.
It's good to have you here. I enjoyed meeting you a couple of weeks ago.
Yes, that was a good time.
Yeah, I enjoyed that, and especially since I've been quoting you and have been mentioning your name for years now. A guy you used to work with quite a bit, Michael Tanner, has been on the show a number of times over the years, and I know you and Mike worked together quite a bit on this topic, didn't you?
Yeah, well, thank you. I appreciate that. We always like to be quoted and noted.
Well, let's talk about this issue of Social Security reform. As my audience knows, Peter, 30 years ago, at least, I started saying, you know what, just let me keep my money and you go on with your Social Security thing. I'd rather not buy into this thing. I believed that it was a mistake to be paying into Social Security in terms of an investment 30 years ago. So when I started hearing people like you and others talk about this thing becoming a real reform, I got really interested in it, and that's one of the reasons why I've covered it quite a bit on the show over the years. But here we are now, after all these years, me thinking over the last couple of years that we're going to make some progress. I'm not sure that we've done anything but just muddy the water. What do you think?
Well, you know, first of all, the most important thing to understand about is what you were saying a minute ago. The program has become a bad deal for working people. You know, people spend too much time talking about its long-term bankruptcy. Yes, it doesn't have the money to pay even the benefits it's promised. But I think it's even more important to understand that the benefits it's promised are a bad deal. For most workers today, even if Social Security paid all its promised benefits, the real rate of return would be 1 to 1.5% or less. For many, it would be zero or negative. This is a negative real rate of return. That's like
for a black male, it's a negative return, isn't it?
Well, yeah, for many black males, but it's not just black males, as many other people as well, will get a negative real return, even if all the benefits are paid. That's like going to the bank, giving them your money, and instead of getting interest, you pay the bank to hold your money. That's what a negative real rate of return is. And so for many people, even the promised benefits will produce that. So, you know, the reform is bigger than, you see, this really affects what kind of reforms you're gonna have, because if you raise taxes or you cut future benefits, well, it's going to be an even worse deal.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why the only way out of this problem is to go to the personal accounts, where workers will be able to get a much higher return, much better benefits in the marketplace, if the government, you know, allows them a truly free choice. Now, what's happened in Washington is a tremendous amount of confusion. A lot of people, frankly, rushed to the fore as self-appointed experts who never really understood how the personal accounts work. So instead of advocating this as what it is, an opportunity for an historic breakthrough in the personal prosperity of working people, they've turned this into a debate about tax increases, benefit cuts, retirement age, and all that nonsense. None of that's a good idea at all. None of that should be in the reform at all.
Hmm.
What people need is a big personal account option where they can begin to shift over time into real personal savings and investment that they personally own and control. And that will solve all the problems.
So you're saying
that
instead of talking about all the negatives, let's talk about the positives.
That's right. They need
to
talk about the positives.
Instead of asking somebody, are you concerned about whether the government is going to provide you with these benefits, most people are going to say, well, you know, they have so far. I go along with that. I think they probably will. And instead of asking them that, say, well, how would you like to have a program where you can X, Y, and Z?
Right.
That's what you think.
Right. We need to be offering a better deal for workers.
But Mr. Bush hasn't really been doing that very well, has he?
Well, you see, this is characteristic of President Bush, who I love President Bush, and I certainly voted for him and supported him as much as possible. And he gets an A on things like character and decisive leadership. I mean, this was courageous for him to put this on the agenda. And he's the one who elevated that out of the think tanks onto the national agenda. But then
right. He's
very poor in articulation and explaining what it is we're supposed to be doing. His staff totally let him down, never developed a good plan.
Peter, hold on to that thought. We're going to...
They in the park, they don't know I'm alone in the dark. Even though
we're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Peter Ferrara is here, too, ladies and gentlemen. I'm glad to have him on the show. Peter, it's good to have you here and talk about this very important issue of Social Security reform. And Peter's one of the global experts on this issue. And, you know, Peter, one of the things that Al Gore and Bill Clinton got accused of correctly was being policy wonks. Nobody ever accused George Bush of being a policy wonk anymore. I mean, he's about as much of a policy wonk as Ronald Reagan was. But did he get a little bit wonkish on this Social Security issue?
Well, yes, he did.
Tell the audience what a wonk is, in case they don't know.
Well, I guess, a wonk is someone who's lost in the details of public policy.
Wander off in the weeds. Don't they?
And, this is an opportunity for increased, enhanced prosperity for working people. And that's what we need to be talking about. And the personal accounts provide that opportunity. And they got lost in the balanced budget of Social Security. If you do the personal accounts are fully funded. And as they take over more and more responsibility, that eliminates the deficit. And that was the point that they missed. We had the people on the White House staff sending the president out to sell Social Security with the message that Social Security doesn't solve to sell personal accounts with the message that personal accounts don't solve the problem. I mean, that's how bad it got, even though their own chief actuary of Social Security had scored four different plans showing if you just focus on the personal accounts and you do them right, you make them big enough, that solves all the problems for you, because the accounts take over the burden of paying the future benefit, more and more of the future benefits, reduces the burden on Social Security and eliminates the deficit. But I go back, Bush set the course, and it was his staff's responsibility to flesh out the details, and they did a very, very poor job. And so when it came time for him to go out on this, he didn't have a good theme, he didn't have a good plan, and it was just a total mess of confusion. And the Democrats must be watching this, seeing us contradict each other.
That's right.
And all of this. And
they're saying, don't bother them, don't get in your enemy's way when they're destroying themselves.
Well, that's exactly right, and it's very sad because... when the issue's framed right, which is let's give workers freedom of choice and control over their own money, we had election after election after election now where the person advocating the personal accounts has won.
Right.
And so that's where they should have been. And it got lost in this, the people in Washington, they love to divert you from your goal.
Mm-hmm.
You're trying to, especially when you try to do a free market reform and shift power
right. From
Washington to the people outside Washington.
That's like taking the crack away from a drug addict, isn't it?
Right. And they like to say, well, you can't do that. You have to focus on this. You have to focus on something else. So they brought up, they tried to force people back into the box of the current Social Security system. Now, the only thing that makes sense is figure out what package of tax increases and benefit cuts you're going to have to balance it. And I've been trying to argue that we need to be out of that box. That's not where we want to play this game. We want to be talking about shifting to an entirely new game of personal accounts where people can get a better deal. And that's how you get this done.
President Ferrara, you're on the stump. You're flying around the country in your 747 Air Force One, and you get to speak for 5 minutes, and you got four or five key points. You don't have time to elaborate on any of them. All you have time to do at each location is to tell us the four main issues or five main issues. What are they?
First of all, this is really an opportunity for an historic breakthrough in the personal prosperity of working people. If this is done right, average income workers will be able to accumulate several hundred thousand dollars by retirement, which would pay them higher benefits, better benefits than Social Security, much better benefits than Social Security even promises, let alone what Social Security can pay.
And it passes on to their heirs.
Again, they can pass that some or all of it onto their heirs, onto their families as they choose. It's the first time you have an opportunity for low and moderate income people to accumulate substantial personal savings and ownership, to accumulate a nest egg over there.
And why wouldn't the Democrats like that?
Because they want the power in Washington.
Yeah.
They don't want to. They don't want to shift the power out to working people. I mean, this is a deal where what we're doing here is an historic shift of power. This is really power to the people. Because instead of the $500 billion coming to Washington, and then Washington using that money to try and buy your vote, that money goes
which
into
is
the
what's been
council
which is what's people. Been going on.
Right, that's what's been going on.
They spent
on.
The money, haven't they?
And that's why they're fighting this, because right. they don't want the power to go back to the people. The ideal bill that was introduced was by Representative Paul Ryan of Wisconsin and Senator John Sununu of New Hampshire, the Ryan-Sununu bill, which let workers roughly take their share of the payroll tax, which if you look at your paycheck, you have the FICA box. That shows how much money's taken out of your paycheck. You could take roughly that share of the tax, roughly that amount, and put it in your own personal account. That accumulates over, you choose from a list of investment options that are approved and regulated for this purpose. Each one is managed by major private investment firms. It's highly diversified, regulated for safety and soundness. And by retirement, that accumulates to over a lifetime a very large amount. With all of that in that bill, we backed it up by a safety net. We said, look, we're so sure that you can get a lot better benefits by investing in the private market that we'll just flat out guarantee that you'll get at least what's promised by the current system. And so what that does is it keeps the safety net of the current system in place, again, preventing the Democrats from making
and
a real legitimate
exactly.
argument.
Well, that takes that argument away from
right.
them.
That's right. Exactly.
But what's amazing to me is how any politician can stand there with an IOU in their hands that they owe the government. How many trillion dollars is it that the government owes the Social Security?
$11 trillion unfunded liability is what it is.
$11 trillion in unfunded liability. They're sitting there holding that IOU, telling us that the stock market is risky. Now that's what's wrong with that picture?
Yeah, well the amount that's in the trust fund is really what they've taken out over the years, because there's really nothing in the trust fund. When they tell you the trust fund has $2 trillion, what that means is that's the amount they've stolen.
That's what they owe.
And
over the next
owe.
10 years, it's going to be another $2 trillion, if I'm not mistaken. Stand by. We're going to come back right back with Peter Farrar and talk some more about this. This is a very important issue, folks. It's very important for the future of the ownership society and the century of the entrepreneur, which I believe is very important. Stay with us.
For the money, two for the show, three to get ready. Now go, cat, go, but don't you.
We're back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with Peter Farrar, Senior Research Fellow at the Institute for Policy and Innovation. Peter, give us the website, please, and tell us a little bit about your organization.
The Institute for Policy Innovation is www.ipi.org. They're a free market think tank. In addition, I work with the Free Enterprise Fund. Director of Domestic Policy for them, and they are a C4 and a C3, which means that they actually try to, you know, the C4 actually works on getting Washington to adopt the real laws. In other words, it's not just talking about it,
right?
But we try to help them develop the legislation, make it practical, and adopt it. And
help them write the language.
Right.
Right. Now your books, the things that you've written, where can we find those?
Cato has a lot of things I've written.
Right.
IPI.org has a lot of things I've written. Those are the two best places.
And you'll also sometimes, folks, I don't know about other publications, but I see your byline in the Wall Street Journal from time to time, Peter, and I know you probably are publishing other publications, so you can check that out, folks. Peter, one of the things I hear you talking about all the time is something you call stop the raid, start the accounts. Tell us about that.
Well, this is what we're trying to do to bring the debate back to personal accounts. And the argument is, let's just start with the Social Security surplus. Let's use the total Social Security surplus, and instead of the government taking that money and spending it, let's devote that to the personal accounts. Let's stop this practice of the government raiding the Social Security Trust Fund, taking the money, spending it on other things, and leaving them with some IOUs. Let's instead devote that money to the personal lockbox of each worker so that the government can't get a hold of it and spend it, and we can start the process of the personal accounts. If we use a total surplus, including the interest on the trust fund bonds, we could start with an account of about 3.2 percentage points. So you'd be able to take about half the amount in your FICA box and put it in a personal account. And there are several members of Congress who are very interested in this, have announced that they were going to support this. The question is, are they really going to do the details right? And so I'm working with them now. We're trying to convince them all to make this into a real strong thing where the raid really is stopped, and workers are given this choice for a significant account to start the process. And so hopefully, you know, we'll succeed. But we have a lot of people in both the House and the Senate. We have the House leadership very interested in
this. How much bipartisan?
Zero bipartisan.
Zero
Democrats
bipartisan.
Won't have anything to do.
Yeah. They don't wander off the farm on this one. If people are listening right now and they're saying, hey, Peter, we get it. We agree with you. What can we do right now to make a difference?
Call your congressman and senator and say, stop the raid, start the accounts. We want you to support that. We're tired of you taking the money.
Will they recognize that language?
Yeah, stop the raid, start the accounts. We're all over Washington with that.
Stop the raid, start the accounts.
Right, that's right. That's the rallying cry.
That's
and
the battle cry.
We're hoping to shift the debate back to the personal accounts and away from the tax increases, the benefit cuts, the retirement age, and all that stuff. And then we'll expand these accounts over time and make them as big as they should be.
Recently, I heard, was it Bennett, Bob Bennett?
Of Utah,
that says he's going to have a bill. But I got the idea that his reform bill was not going to include personal accounts.
Bob Bennett's a very nice man, a very intelligent man, but he's become totally confused on this issue. And he's introducing a bill which would be a massive cut in future promised Social Security benefits and without the personal account. So he's going in the opposite direction. He wants to go back to play in the box.
Well, hasn't he become the Democrats' best player right now?
Well, you see, in a sense, I mean, there was this foolish notion among many reformers that if we agree to cut future promised benefits, then the Democrats will agree to the personal accounts. I don't know how they got that notion, but what he's proposing is something called price indexing, which reduces what the promised benefits are in the future by as much as 30-40% for today's young workers. Well, that's not really reform. That's certainly not personal prosperity, and it's not a better deal for workers. It's a worse deal. I mean, under that kind of system, everybody will be in negative rates of returns. So it's exactly the wrong way to go. The Democrats are going to demand a tax increase. That's what they really want. And so he's off negotiating a package of tax increases and benefit cuts without personal accounts. So I'm opposed to that. We're going to try to fight anything like that tooth and nail. The only thing that makes sense is the personal accounts. You know, why should we raise taxes and cut benefits now? Because otherwise, 40 years down the line, we'll have to raise taxes and cut benefits. We need to change completely the current system onto an entirely new system that'll be a better deal for workers.
Well,
and so he's missing the point.
The personal accounts do two things. Number one, it improves the situation for the retirees, the account holders, but it also takes the money away from the politicians. It solves that problem too.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
I've got to wrap it up, but I hope you'll come back another day and be
anytime.
With us. Thank you. Very good job today. Give us your website again, please.
IPI.org.
IPI.org. Thank you very much, Peter. See you next
time.
Thank you. Peter Ferrara, ladies and gentlemen. We'll get him back another day. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.